Good evening. Welcome to Let's Do It Radio, sponsored by DoItAllInTheMall.com, and to all of our listeners worldwide. But a special welcome first to all of our first-time listeners. This is your hostess, Reverend Carolyn McCullough from Spread the Word Ministry in Arlington, Texas. We are so glad that you are here today. All of our entrepreneurs can be found under the client section on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com, owned and operated by Sharon Salisbury Frazier in Yakima, Washington, and is a safe and secure 24/7 online shopping mall of over 5,000 stores, which has been in business for over 13 years and has all your needs. You can visit the site and shop while listening to entertainment, all in the comfort of your home. So take a tour and shop. Today is Wednesday, September 29th, 2021, and we welcome you to Wednesday Bible study on the topic of the different faces of a blessing. Still coming from the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 42. So pull your Bibles out, Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 42, and we will be talking about anger, lust, divorce, oath, and retaliation. Again, we're so grateful to you being here today, and we're happy that you're here, and we're believing that all of us will be blessed by our study in His Word today. So come on and sit down and relax and get ready to enjoy yourself in the Word today. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, we're going to be led in prayer. So pray with me, if you will. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for all of the blessings found in this day. We thank you for all of our listening audience and all of those who are on the line, and even those who may not be on the line yet but are coming on the line. So we thank you, thank you, thank you for the blessings today. We ask that you continue to pour out your Spirit upon each of us, and we also ask that you forgive all of us for any sins that we have committed. We know that you are a holy God and you are desirous of a holy people. So forgive us for all of our sins and make within each of us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we bless you. And we will listen to a song at this particular time, Every Praise.
God.
Every word of worship.
With one accord.
Come on, say every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
It's to our God.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise,
every praise.
Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome back. Welcome back. Every praise is due our God. So when you see me praising, you might not understand my praise, but you may not also know what all I've been through to get to that praise. So we're praising him today, and we're thanking him for his goodness, for his grace, for his Holy Ghost, for his salvation. Hallelujah. And I just want to make it known right here that Do It All in the Mall does not own the rights to any of the music you will hear during this show today. And we just want to make that disclaimer. Reverend Rodney, will you come on now and lead us in the manner that you would like to lead us? Again,
Amen.
We are in Matthew chapter 5, and we will be looking at verses 21 through 42. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 42, and we are still looking at lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. And
that's right.
We will be talking today about anger, lust, divorce, oaths, and retaliation. So pull out
that's
your Bibles
right.
and your pen and your paper, and let's get ready to take some notes. Amen. Amen. Let us have a good time in the Lord. Go ahead, Reverend Rodney.
Amen. 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 We greet everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. I say good morning. I say good day. I say good afternoon. I say good evening. And I say good night. You know why? Because someplace is all of those different things. Some places in the morning, some places in the day, some places in the afternoon, somewhere in the evening, and somewhere right now is at night. And we are internet radio, a podcast, so someone can be listening to us anywhere in the world. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Yes. So that's why we can say good morning. Someplace it is early in the morning. Someplace else it might be in the day or the afternoon or the evening or at night. We
yes.
are so thankful. We are so thankful that we are gathered again. It's been 2 weeks since we've gathered in this forum for this Bible study with Spread the Word, and a whole lot could happen and have happened in 2 weeks. Some, you know, some folk who were here 2 weeks ago ain't here no more.
Mm-hmm.
Some folk who were here 2 weeks ago ain't nowhere. They're not here today. Some people who were here yesterday not here today. A whole
yeah.
lot of things could have happened in 2 weeks. I thank God. He's brought us back together to study God's word one more time. It's already been said, we are looking at sermons from the Mount, and there are several things we will discuss. We are still in chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. We started a few weeks ago looking at the different faces of a blessing. That was our first lesson, the different faces of a blessing. And we looked at verses 1 through 12 of the 5th chapter of Matthew. We also looked at verses 13 through 16, and we entitled that The Christian Purpose. And then the last time we gathered, we looked at verses 17 through 20 of chapter 5, all of chapter 5, and we entitled that Why Did Jesus Christ Come? So we're going to review, and my review always is in the form of just reading. So when we get to the last lesson, we're going to read chapter 5, 6, and 7 without stopping, because every time we meet, our review consists of reading what we have already went over. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. Verse number 2, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse number 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Verse number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Verse number 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And finally, verse number 11 and 12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And we talked about the many faces. We talked about the different faces of a blessing as we went through those first 12 verses. And then we looked at verses 13 through 16, the Christian purpose. So, Reverend Carolyn, if you would read for us verses 13 through 16, and that will help us in our review. Matthew chapter 5,
okay.
Verses 13 through 16.
You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Amen. Thank you. Now, Reverend Lil, if you're on the line, if you read verses 17 through 20, and we entitled that part of the lesson, Why Did Jesus Christ Come? Verses 17 through 20 of chapter 5.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot, one tittle, I think I missed something, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That brings us up to verse 21 in chapter 5. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for what our ears have heard. We pray now, O God, that you continue to give us your insight. We ask a special blessing upon all of us tonight as we study your word. Please forgive us of our sins. We always recognize you as the only God. And we ask that you would lead and guide us into all truth tonight through your word. You teach us, O God. Please give us the courage and the strength to follow your lead wherever you take us, O God. We pray that we will follow you on tonight. So I thank you again for allowing us to have gathered again to read and study your word, O God. So now I know that we will be better at the end of this study than we all are in the beginning because of you, not because of any of us, but because of you. Again, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here we are. Here we are. Lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 42. And in these verses, we're going to look at anger, we're going to look at lust, we're going to look at divorce, we're going to look at oath and retaliation. And I'm sure, this is a rhetorical question, I'm sure if each of us can identify with at least one of these five things, and some of us may be able to identify with simply all of them. Anger, we may have been angry. We have gotten angry. We have lost our temper at one point or another. We may have lust over something. You know, we don't always have to be lusting over a human being. We can be lusting over a piece of pie. We can be lusting over almost anything. Divorce, and retaliation. So those are what we will be looking at, and we will begin at Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. And I think what we will do tonight is read the sections in their entirety, and then we will come back and do the discussion. Don't know if the outline got out to everyone, but there is a printed outline. But if not, if you have your Bibles, you still will be in good shape. You will be in better shape if you only have your Bible and don't have the outline, because the Bible is the true word. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21-26. And again, in my Bible, the capture of the title is anger. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Verse number 23. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Verse number 25, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. And finally, verse number 26, truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Each of the sections that we're going to talk about tonight, anger, lust, divorce, oath, and retaliation, if we get however far we get, it begins with a statement similar to this. You have heard that it was said. Each of them starts with a statement similar to that. You have heard that it was said. And I made a comment that I wrote, don't always believe what you hear. Don't always believe what you hear. Now, let me explain that. When I say don't always believe what you hear, I'm saying it in reference to the statement that you will find at the beginning of each of these sections. You have heard that it was said. I say that not in the sense that it is not true what's being said, because we will never be found guilty of saying any part of the word is not true. So we are not saying don't always believe what you hear. Not in the sense that it's not true, but in the sense that it's not the whole truth. There's more to the story. What Jesus is teaching and preaching, he added, because Reverend Lil just read, the word said, I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come to fulfill them. So when it's stated that you have heard, it's referencing many of the times things that were taught and done in the Old Testament, in the law, in the first five books that's called the Pentateuch. But now Jesus is bringing a more perfect and a more better way of living. This is early in Jesus' ministry. He's not going to the cross. He's not defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he's not been resurrected. This is early in Jesus' ministry, but Jesus is teaching a better way. Jesus is teaching a more perfect way than the way that was being taught back in the Old Testament. And remember, he's not doing away with the law. In other words, he's coming to fulfill it, as the word said, and he's coming to make it better, a better way of living. Now, are there any comments? Are there anybody who would disagree or agree, or anything needs to be said about what we just discussed? Don't have to be, but we want to make sure we are on the same page and stay on the same page. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. So, don't always believe what you hear. And again, that's in the context of what we are studying tonight. But if you want to take that a step further and take it out of the context and just have a brief discussion, certainly we should not always believe what we hear. Because even now more than ever, you know, with all of the misinformation, of the misguided information, all of the stuff they're talking about as it relates to COVID and the vaccine, we certainly can't believe everything we hear. We have to use discernment. We have to pray. We have to call on the Lord. We have to do research ourselves, and we have to ask the Lord for his holy wisdom. Because folk will say anything. Folk will say, will tell you anything. Mm-hmm. You can read anything on the Internet as well. That don't make it true. Mm-hmm. That don't make it
true.
And so,
I'd like to make a point. And the point that I'm making is what is being expounded upon is the significance of the commandment, thou shalt not murder. And anger will lead us to a point of no return. And so if we do not control our anger like God taught us to control it, then we can be found guilty of breaking the Ten Commandments where it says you shall not murder. Because you got to become angry enough to get to a place of murder, right?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's what I wanted to say. And then he's also letting us know that if we are offering our gifts at the altar and remember that our brother has something against us, we need to go and get that right away. Now, I'm a big proponent of forgiveness. Why? Because my God, Jesus, died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. And if he died for my sins, who am I to not be willing to forgive others for their sins?
That's right. We need
to be really, really careful to go and get it straight quickly. And that's what it says in verse 25. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court. So go ahead on. I remember I was talking to this woman the other night, which was Sunday night. I called the hospital to let them know that they had sent this lady home and things was not coordinated, and no sooner than she got home, she died. And so the woman was telling me that she felt like I was lecturing her. And I said to her, that is not my intent, so let me ask your forgiveness right now. And she moved to another statement. And then I came back and said, well, I need to hear you say you have forgiven me and are not, because if I'm offending you, I'm obligated to ask you to forgive me. And then she went on to say that she did, but I could tell that she was not in the same place that I was in.
Wow.
And you know what happens? Truth actually hurts, doesn't it? So when you speak truth to somebody, it hurts. And the one thing that we have to realize is that no matter how tired these people are from taking care of folks, they still don't have the right to mistreat others. And so maybe what I was saying to her became offensive because she was hurt. And I said to her, I need the doctor to know, and I need all of you to know that this woman is home and she's now deceased. And so we need to be doing something better and or different. And what I'm used to is what was not done. And so I think, too, because people are so tired caring for people in the hospitals, that they are overlooking the quality that they once provided and took pride in providing. So now we're getting almost anything. And I had to share with some people that I have never seen anybody in a hospital, and the woman begged the nurse to let us come up to pray. And they would not let us come. And I said to Rodney, I would hate to be the staff making this decision. And this woman goes home to be with the Lord, and she didn't get the prayer that she was trying to get.
All right. Amen. That's true.
You don't want to be in that position. So what we want to do is make sure that we're doing everything as decent as possible when we're dealing with people. We're not dealing with machines. We're dealing with human beings.
That's right.
And irregardless of how tired we are, we need to consult the Lord, and we need to pray, and we need to keep saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your guidance. Then I was talking to another physician assistant at the hospital, and as I spoke with her and was sharing with her about my connection with the patient, she said to me, well, I'm a person of faith also, so I know how important faith is. And I said, wonderful. Well, this is why we engage in praying for the staff, praying for the caregivers, praying for everybody, because all of us need prayer.
So do. Always.
Always.
Amen.
So those points were the points that I wanted to bring up.
Amen. Thank you for all of those. And some you will probably may lift up again as we go through and get further in this text. Again, we are looking at lessons from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through verse number 42, looking at anger, lust, divorce, oaths, and retaliation. And we have started with anger. Again, it says, go back to it because I moved. Hold on. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And that's one of the commandments, isn't it? That's the sixth one if you have them numbered like I do. It's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not, or the commandment says thou shalt not kill. But in essence, that's the same thing. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. And I want to read this. This is Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. And this is when Moses killed someone. Let's listen to this. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people, and he looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. Moses was a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way, and he looked that way. And seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He killed him, right? He murdered him. In essence, verse number 13, when he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling. Two of his own brothers were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, why do you strike your companion? And he answered, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So although Moses looked both ways, what he did didn't go unnoticed, didn't go unknown. There was someone who saw him. Then Moses was afraid and thought, surely this thing is known. Then Pharaoh heard of it, and he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. I read that just so we can see and understand. The text says, thou shalt not. You've heard it said, you shall not murder. Murder is taken seriously. Look at verse number 22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Then and now. This is what we see in verse 22. What happened then? What's happening now?
Yeah.
If you murdered then, you are going to be liable to judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But now the teaching that Jesus is bringing, even if you don't murder, if you get angry, you still going to be liable to the judgment. Jesus is teaching that if you insult your brother, you're going to be liable to the council. And if you call somebody a fool, isn't that what it says? And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So what you see in verse number 22 is what went on then and what's going on now with Jesus' teaching.
Right. And your point helps to validate that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but he came so that we would be able to fulfill the law in an easier manner.
Right.
And Reverend Rodney, I would like to ask a question. Now, of course, I know you're reading a different version, and kill and murder is the same pretty much. It's just they work together. But in essence, it's saying thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder. And I think it's a little bit of difference between killing and murdering, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Well, I think y'all
need to point
out the difference.
Like, for instance, I'm thinking in my mind in the time of war, there's a lot of killing going on, but that's not really considered as murder. But if I'm mad at you and I let that anger get away with me and the devil get to playing up there in my head, and I get a gun and go over there and shoot you because you stepped on my foot last week and it made me angry, that's murder.
Uh-huh.
Am I right?
Murder's more premeditated.
Yeah.
I looked up the definition. It is an illegal act that is premeditated where one person kills another, is how I read, so to speak.
Yeah.
But
because even God ordered war. Never ordered murder.
Right. And again, in this context, it's speaking on getting anger and getting angry.
Yeah.
So,
get angry, and I'm gonna get you. You know. Then this here, that verse 22 will apply to me. Right.
Yes.
I'll be in serious trouble.
Yes. You shall not murder.
Yeah.
And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. You have heard it said, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. That was then, but verse 22 begins. But now this is what I'm teaching in verse 22, Jesus said, but now I say, everyone who is angry. They didn't speak of anger back in the law. They spoke. They basically just said, if you murder somebody, if you kill somebody, this is what's going to happen. Anger didn't come in until Jesus started to teach. Now Jesus said, even if you don't kill them, even if you don't go that far, if you just get angry with your brother, you're still liable.
That's right.
Because doesn't it not say...
I forgot what book it's in, but one of those books, New Testament, say be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. And then the sun say be angry and sin not.
Yeah, I believe it's in James, but don't hold me to that.
Right.
But anyhow, you're absolutely correct. And so what he's letting us know is, despite the fact that we get angry, is no excuse for being out of control.
That's right.
And so we need to make sure that we maintain control in all areas as much as we possibly can. Because it also says, and I believe also in the book of James, that we should as much as possible live peaceably among all men. So it's helping us to know that there may be times to wherein we may not be getting along with somebody, but it doesn't give us a way of escape. We're still held accountable and to a higher standard when we're in Christ Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
So we need to be looking to portray the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Love, joy, peace, self-control, long-suffering, gentleness. There's so many, I'm sure, but there's also no law against any of them.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we're living the best we can at all times and being accountable for our actions as well. So with salvation comes accountability.
That's right. Ephesians 4 and 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Be angry and do not sin. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil.
That's it. Hallelujah.
That's it.
So one lesson for all of us tonight is that we will get angry. That's a fact. But we need to get it fixed as quickly as possible. And if we practice not laying down and going to sleep on that anger, but getting it fixed before we even go lay down and go to sleep.
Yeah.
And why is that important? It's important because sin separates us from who? God.
Lord.
If we find ourselves in that state, we need to get it right before we go to bed.
Yeah, Reverend Eric, thank you, Reverend Carol. Reverend Eric, did you have a comment?
Yes, I did.
Come on with it.
That verse you just read sticks out, and it makes you think, okay, what shall I do? Because I'm angry. What shall I do?
Yeah.
Which way can I go? You know, but the way it leaves us, it don't tell us what to do. A lot of people will say, I don't know what to do. Which way should I go?
I'm angry.
I'm upset. I got this going on in my head. It's in my head. It's not, it haven't made it to my heart. It's just in my head right now.
I'm gonna let you finish. It's telling us what to do because it says be angry. It's telling us what to do. Be angry, but don't sin. But I think what you're trying to say is not really telling us how to do it. Now, it's telling us what to do. It says you're gonna get angry, but now when you get angry, here's what to do: don't sin. And I think your question to us is, well, how do you do that? Because we know what to do, but we need to learn how to do it. How do I get from being angry and not sinning?
That's right.
That's it.
We need to learn how to walk in love. We need to learn
walk
how
in
to
love.
Bear one another's burdens. All of it is in the book. We need to be one
in
Christ.
I know it's in the book, Pastor. But everybody ain't reading the book. Everybody at the moment ain't reading the book.
Amen.
This is where we're at. And see, we have a great example.
People know that it is important. It is for their benefit to be in Bible study, not for my benefit and the benefit of the person who's teaching. It's for the benefit of the attendees, because as I study his word, I then become accountable to his word. And even if I don't have the book, but I'm in a study, at least the people will tell me where to go. And you can tell somebody that you don't have a Bible, and then we can work on getting a Bible for you.
Yeah.
So accountability piece goes back to those who are spiritually strong, bearing the infirmities of the weak. And in this particular instance, the weak will be the person who may not know how to do it. But the Lord is not going to free me up of my responsibility. That's why the word tells us that not many of us should be what? Teachers. Because we are going to be held accountable for what we teach to other people as well.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What can I bring in the context?
Hmm?
Let me try.
And Reverend Harris, I'm so glad you made that point, because this is the point that I have been making for a long time, that we need to be clear in making the teaching such that it is so elementary that even a child can understand it.
Yeah.
Because we're not trying to show who is smarter or who went to whatever school. None of that stuff is important. What's important is that people are coming to a clear understanding of the Lord's word.
Right.
And learning how to apply it to their lives. So
yeah.
You are so very right in the point that you are making, but I'm also tying it in with us and our accountability as teachers and preachers.
That's right.
Okay.
Notice I said teachers and preachers.
Am I on mute? Let me make sure I am on mute. Can I try to help you?
Mm-hmm.
Can I be heard?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Let's bring it in the context. Ephesus, the book of Ephesians that we just read out of is written to the church in Ephesus and the surrounding areas. So what we just read is written to Christians, right? Or it's written to people in the church. When it says, be angry and do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your anger, that's not written to anybody. That's not written to somebody who's not going to have access to the word or somebody who don't know Christ. That's written for folk like you and I. When you say, well, they might not read it or they might not have it. Folk who don't have the word or don't read the word don't stand a chance. Every time they get angry, they're going to sin. You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? If you don't know Jesus and you don't have an opportunity to read the word or be in study or be praying, then you don't have no relationship with the Lord. 9 times out of 10, every time they get angry, they're going to sin. Ain't no way they're going to be angry and sin not. That's for us. That's for us. Those who know who Christ is and those who have the Holy Spirit living in us, that's the only thing going to help us be angry and sin not.
Some of us don't read the word either, Reverend Rodney.
That's what we're saying.
We're not talking about the non-believers. We can talk about the believers not reading and studying the word.
Mm-hmm. But
they rely on the pastor. they waiting on the pastor to tell them.
Yeah.
It's got to be in the next sermon. You know, if I didn't hear it in the sermon, I don't know it.
Yeah. And what you all are saying is true, because we know folk who are Christians and we who are saved, we don't do everything right. I mean, I think that's what I hear you all saying, and that really goes without saying. We don't do everything right.
We want to encourage us to continue coming to study. Your chances of getting more is better if you attend than if not.
Because the
very point that you just made helps us all to understand that not all of us are reading and studying our word. And so if we're not reading and studying our word, at least if you show up, you might remember something that was taught.
Yeah.
And if you remember what was taught, then you will try to stand on that as well.
Right.
But this is why the scripture teaches us, do not be mere hearers of the word, but be doers also. So when we come to, we want to not only just come, but we want to practice what we're being taught.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And practice makes perfect.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for opening. Thank you for sending us in that direction, because it is the direction that we needed to go in. Now let's look at, can we move on a little bit?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Before you get away. Before you get away.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Before you run out.
Right
that 22, is that 22
okay.
Where it's talking about anger?
Yeah.
Yeah,
22.
Yeah. 22. But I say to you. Yeah. But I say to you that everyone who is angry, that's it. Verse number 22.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Now, we see this, but there's an example over in Genesis where two brothers got into it.
Yeah.
Them two brothers, they were competitive. And one was a herder of animals, and the other was a farmer.
Right.
And the farmer, he allowed anger to overtake him, even though he was told by God that anger was sitting at the door.
Yeah.
He was told that.
He was told that anger was sitting at the door and getting ready to take over.
Uh-huh.
In so many words, he let him know he was getting ready to take over. But he didn't pay him any attention. He didn't pay God any attention. And he killed his brother.
Killed his brother.
Killed his brother in anger.
And his blood was required of him because of it.
Killed his brother. And that's heavy, Reverend Harris, because he was warned, as you already stated, he was warned that anger was going to be was going to be right there waiting. And he still had no power to control his anger. His anger went all the way to the point where he killed his brother. That's a mad dude, man. That's a mad dude.
Yeah.
That's
I think the anger
dude.
Got out of his head and got into his heart at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And he lost control. But now Jesus is saying, I'm bringing a new way of life. I'm bringing a new way for you to live. And the way I want you to live is to get angry but sin not. How can you do that? The only way you can do it, although the Holy Ghost has not come yet, he's teaching something that's going to happen. Because what Jesus is really saying is y'all not going to be able to do this on your own. So, but I'm going to go and I'm going to send the comforter. I'm going to, when the Holy Ghost comes and you receive and accept the Holy Ghost and now it's living inside of you, that's what's going to help you. That's what's going to help y'all. That's what's going to help us be angry but not sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go all over the place and say, well, we don't do what we're supposed to do as Christians. We don't read. We don't pray. We still doing all this. Yeah, we are. But what Jesus is saying, the teaching that I'm bringing now is that when I leave and the comforter comes, you're going to have what it takes to be angry but not sin. And if you don't receive by Holy Ghost, you ain't going to have it. If you don't let it live and grow in you, you ain't going to be able to do it. Simple as that. But if you allow it to live and grow and be inside of you, you can get angry and not sin.
Come on, man.
A lot of us is not there. A lot of us is not there. But that don't prohibit what the Word says, and that don't preclude or that don't dismiss what the intent of the Word. Although a lot of us not there, the intent of the Word is that we could and should be there if the Holy Ghost is living and operating in us. We can sin, we can get angry and sin. And we can discuss why a lot of us can't do it until we blew in the face. There's so many different reasons why a lot of us can't do it, don't do it, ain't doing it, may never do it. But Jesus, God's intent and Jesus' intent is that we have the ability to do it. We can do it if the Holy Ghost is living in us and we are allowing the Holy Ghost to operate and work in us. And I'm being redundant, but I think that's the how they say it. That's the intent That's the spirit. That's the spirit of the word that Jesus teaches. It may not do it, but it ain't my fault, because I've left something that can make you, can help you do it. All you got to do is believe in it and grab hold to it and live it.
This is why it's important for us to follow the instructions.
Yeah.
If you don't follow the instructions, you will never get to the point you're trying to go. And that is anything. You may have a GPS that's telling you where to go, but if you don't listen to it, it's going to take you longer to get there.
Yeah.
But if you follow the GPS's instructions, it'll get there quicker.
Yeah. Perfect example, Carolyn, you and I. Sometimes you and I be traveling, and I have the GPS on, and the GPS tells me to turn one way, and you might say, well, turn that way. I said, no, I'm listening to the GPS. And you remember that type of conversation? That's just what you said. You know, I'd be like, because you know the way, but I'll say to you, although you know the way, I'm still going to go the way the GPS is sending me, because the GPS is so smart, it could be directing me around some traffic that I can't see. So I'm still going to go the way the GPS is sending me instead of the way that I know to go. I'm going to listen to the GPS, and I'm saying that in response to what you just said.
Yeah.
Try to help strengthen that comment, because it goes right with what you just said.
Mm-hmm. And the GPS story is a story in real life with everything that God has given us. Because he's given us so many weapons that we refuse to use, and we still will cry for them. Or we still will cry not able to do this, that, or the other. But he's already told us that we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to exercise discernment. We need to apply the word to our lives. We need to have compassion for one another. But we still will not do those things, which winds us up in a place where we don't want to be.
That's right. That's right.
And then we got the unmitigated gall to become angry after we've not done what we needed to do.
All right.
Who am I to get mad with God when God told me what I need to do?
Okay.
He gave me the guide, and if I don't follow the guide, whose fault is that?
That's our fault.
Watch out.
It's our fault. So we want to follow the guide. It's no excuse that I don't come to Bible study. It's no excuse that I don't have a Bible. It's no excuse that I won't read the Bible. It's no excuse that I will download the Bible on my phone. It's no excuse. We have the scripture in every simplest form so people will be able to understand.
That's right.
And watch what you just said. You just said we refuse to use the weapons that we have. Didn't you say that?
Yes.
We refuse to use the weapons that we have. And what you're talking about, we got weapons to fight the enemy. We have weapons to fight the devil. And you're saying, which I believe, we refuse to use the weapons that God has given us.
Yeah.
And that made me think of the Afghanistan army. The Afghanistan army refused to fight the Taliban.
Uh-huh.
They refused to fight. I wasn't there, but all of the stories I'm hearing is that they just fold. And I don't know why. I know a lot of things are going on, and a lot of situations could have led them not to wanting to fight. But the Afghanistan army didn't fight. They didn't use the weapons that they had, and as a result, they were overtaken.
That's right.
If we, Reverend Carolyn, don't use the weapons that God has given us, we will be overtaken as well. You understand what I'm saying? If we don't use the weapons that God has given us, then we're going to be overtaken by the enemy, just as all of Afghanistan is now overtaken by the Taliban. Why? Because they didn't use the weapons that they had in their hands. They refused to fight. They bowed down. They gave up. Now, listen, I don't know all of the details,
or what made them do that. But what we see from the outside looking in is that they refused to fight because they really had more. They were they outnumbered the Taliban, just like the people in Egypt outnumbered those who were enslaving them. But it's not about numbers. It's not about numbers. It's not about big numbers. It's about a will and a commitment and a desire.
That's right.
Always say,
how many you can count on.
You have
a large number, but who can you actually count on?
Who will actually be there?
Who will make the sacrifices? Who will step in to do what needs to be done?
Well, when you said that, that's what made me think about that. When you said we have weapons that we refuse to use and don't use. Now let's look at this. Can we move on? Look at.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we've got real good on that. Now the next few verses 23 and 24, I want to simply call them or title them again, First Things First. Verses 23 and 24. And I want us to think about First Things First. Verse 23 says, so if you offer your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, verse number 24 says, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. Listen to this. You are more important than your gift. How many know that you are more important than your gift? The gift loses its purpose when the person loses its power. The gift loses its purpose when the person is not right. In other words, your gift don't mean nothing that you are bringing if there's a situation with your heart. If you got something against your brother got something against you that you haven't made right, your gift don't even matter. And that's why I said leave that gift and go and take care of the situation, then come back and offer your gift. That's why I said first things first. It doesn't matter what your gift is. Your gift can be $1 million. Your gift could be, back then it could be a cattle or ram, but whatever the case might be, it's saying that you as a person is more important than your gift. So leave your gift. Go get your soul right. Go get your heart right, because your gift is not going to mean anything if you offer it in the state of mind that you're in now. So leave it. Go get things right. Come back and then offer it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
First thing first.
Okay.
And if we have further questions regarding that, we can go straight to Matthew, the 18th chapter, I believe it is, and it will lay out step-by-step instructions for getting it right. Matthew chapter 18, and I'm turning over there.
18, it's about that unjust servant.
It starts at verse number 15 and goes through 20. The 18th chapter, verse number 15 through 20. And then when we think brother, we're not talking about a blood brother. We're talking about a brother or a sister in Christ, or a brother or sister, period.
Right.
Because regardless of whether they're in Christ or not, we still are held to a higher standard when we're in Christ and treating people this way.
Right. Right, exactly right.
If your brother sins against you, you need to go and tell him his fault. So if you know that you are holding something against someone, you need to tell them. And why it's important for you to tell them is because the burden of proof is on you, because you're the one who knows that something has happened. The person who you may be accusing may not even know.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And this is why he says if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So it's okay for me to include somebody else, but there's still a right or wrong way to do that. You don't confront people publicly. You don't bring injury to people publicly. You don't do that. You need to pray first, because the Holy Ghost will tell you when to go and how to go.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the Holy Ghost gives you permission, not if, when the Holy Ghost gives you permission to go, you need to go as humble as you know how. Because if you don't, you can be caught in that same fault.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you for taking us there, and that do bring some clarity to what we are studying. Again, in this particular text, it's talking about if you take your gift to the altar, if you're taking your gift to the altar, then make sure you got everything right before you present that gift, because you're fixing to cancel out the meaning and the effect of that gift if you don't have your heart right, if you haven't taken care of what needed to be taken care of first. And I know our tithe and our offering and our giving is a commandment that God has given us. That's we ought to give the tenth and an offering. But it also says we shouldn't give with the what has it said, y'all? We shouldn't give with a grudging heart. Or I'm saying it wrong, but it says something about our heart when we give. We can nullify our giving as well.
A begrudging heart. Right, we don't want to give with that.
Grudging heart. Don't give grudgingly or whatever.
Right. That's right.
And I believe it. The meaning of that is you might as well keep it if you are giving it, not really want to give it.
That's right.
If you're giving it grudgingly.
Yeah.
If you're angry, you shouldn't give if you're angry with God about having to give it.
That's right. That's right.
You angry with God about having to give whatever you give it. Oh, well, you might as well keep it.
That's you canceling out your giving. If you take your gift and you got something against your brother got something against you, and you don't get it right, your gift has no meaning.
Amen.
You might as well not give it, or you might as well keep it in your pocket, in your possession. That's why you got to do first things first. When you offer it, go get it right. Then it says come back. Come back after you get it right, and then offer it.
Yeah, didn't we talk something about that here the other week in a Thursday night Bible study about people doing and saying, and, you know, we was talking about the being an accomplished to somebody. Even when you hear somebody say something is wrong and all of that, they had to make amends for that, didn't they?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's accountability of our actions are also accountable. So we have to be accountable for everything we do, right, wrong, or indifferent, knowingly or unknowingly. We
still have to
give an account.
It's made clear. It doesn't mean, can't say, well, I didn't know.
Right.
God has a sacrifice for that too.
Yeah.
For not knowing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Let's see it.
Yeah.
Let me see. It's 6:45. Not sure how long we got, but I'm gonna tip. I'm gonna go a little bit further. Verses 25 and 26, and we'll be done this section. Verses 25 and 26. Come to terms quickly, and Reverend Carolyn started to address this earlier in her first comment. Come to terms quickly with your accuser, while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. In verse number 26, truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Resolve, and I have here written, resolve matters quickly. That's what I have for verses 25 and 26. Resolve matters quickly. Settle at the first level. What do I mean by that? We need to be settling matters at the first level. And what is the first level? The first level is between you and the person. We need to be selling things at the first level, because it says, while you are on your way to the court, y'all work that thing out. The second level is the court.
You know, yes. If you and that person can't work it out, then the second level is going, the court's going to have to sell it. So we need to be trying to settle things at the first level. The word is saying that you and that person sell it. Don't let the court sell it. And there's a third level of settlement of selling things, too. And that third level is don't let God settle it. Because if God settles it, it's going to be much worse than the court. It's going to be much worse than you and that person could have ever came to some kind of agreement that y'all didn't come to. We don't want God to sell it. So if there's something going on between me and you, if there's something going on between you and somebody else, we need to work it out. Don't let it go to the second level. Don't let it go to the court. And God forbid we let it get to where God has to sell it.
Well, and he's already told us that we as Christians don't need to be going to court anyway. Other people might take us, but we certainly shouldn't be taking them to court.
That's what the word says.
Come
to terms quickly.
Regarding all of that. So
somebody
we need to follow the
script.
But
right.
I think they're talking here about the judge. I think God is the judge.
That's right.
He's the judge.
Come to terms quickly, lest your accuser, while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hands you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you may be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny.
The last penny.
Yeah, so it's a story in Matthew. That's where I thought Carolyn was going a while ago. Matthew 18 starts with 21. But it's about the servant who was asking for forgiveness from his Lord. The Lord gave him forgiveness. But then he went out and he tried to collect what was owed to him, and they was asking him for patience, and he wouldn't give them patience. You know, and he got back to the Lord. Their Lord, the Lord had him and his whole family cast into prison on his day. The two go. That's why I say the judge is the Lord. Because it's still dealing, though, Reverend Rodney, with, I think, being angry and unforgiveness. I think all of that is tied up there together. Because if you holding unforgiveness in your heart, I don't know how you're going to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And it's not going to, like you said earlier, it's not going to be accepted because your heart ain't right.
Right.
Like, I got to go and I got to ask for forgiveness. I got to do what I need to do in order to get my heart back on track before I can offer up the sacrifices to the Lord. And that's what I think he's talking with his adversary and asking for forgiveness or forgiving him. I said, don't say who's taking who to the judge. You know, it did not really tell us which one was, but somebody was taking the other to the judge.
Well, it says the accuser. It's the accuser.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court.
Okay. And so that's kind of like what they do now. You know, they have settlements outside of court a lot of times. And that's probably where they got it from, is from here. But still, they have to get their hearts right. Because you can't do anything when your heart is all messed up.
Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? When one of you have a grievance against, and they're talking about talking about the church folk. When one of you have a grievance against another, does he dare to go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the sink. If you got something against your brother, do you? And that's what it's saying back where we are studying now as well. If you and your brother got something going on, get it settled before you get to the court where it might be unrighteous people. You need to try to say, if the two of you know the Lord, y'all need to try to work it out together. You don't want to present your case to somebody who don't know the Lord. You don't want to present your case to somebody who's unrighteous. When one of you have a good case against another, does he dare go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the saint? Verse number two. Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you competent in trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge the angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? I think that ties in because I saw a reference to that scripture back over in Matthew chapter 5. I think we all are saying the same thing. We got to get it right. We need to try to get it right between us because we don't want it to go to the next level. If both of us love and know the Lord and we have something going on, we need to get it right and get it right quickly.
Yeah.
That's right.
What it's saying. We need to get it right quick. We need to get it worked out quick.
And so I'm asking us to hold on to that when we get to divorce as well. Because when you are married to a Christian, be it male or female, we have a different set of rules that must be applied in order for us to successfully work through everything. And we know, this is why I tell people, we need to be teaching folk, even in the church, how to get along with one another. Because we don't get along with our family members all the time, but we don't stop loving them, do we?
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
So whatever principle you apply to loving your husband or wife, that is the same principle you need to be applying when you're dealing with the people in the church community.
Yeah. Amen. And so we'll get to that section. I think we need to bring this to an end. It's close to 7 o'clock. And we have finished the section.
Well, we had 44 minutes back a while ago. When you first asked, she added 44 minutes. So we are to be now well into probably 5 to 7 of those, well, 7 to 10 of these 44 minutes.
All right. So are you saying go continue?
Yeah. Sharon, what time do you need to cut off? 35 minutes.
We can go a little longer then. We can get into lust. Are we good with anger? Any questions, concerns? I don't know who all is on the line. I'm hearing two voices. There may be some others who are listening.
We have caller number 6920, caller number 9455, and caller number, and all of us who are talking, Eric and Leo, 6920.
Any of the other callers, you don't have to speak, but if there's anything that you want to say, anything you want to bring some clarity to, anything you want us to try to bring some clarity to, you're welcome. You don't have to, but we always want to present that opportunity. We are closing out the section on anger, and we're going to move into the section on lust. But we want to make sure that we have answered any questions or any concerns or any comments that need to be made. We want to give opportunity for that.
Amen.
Hearing none, I guess we'll move forward.
Let somebody read for us the entire section on lust, verse 27 through 30, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 30, that will address lust.
Okay, I'll read it. You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery and with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one eye, one of your members, than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell.
That's right. That's right. And again, this begins as well with don't always believe what you hear, because it says in the beginning, again, Reverend Carolyn, you have heard that it was said. You have heard that this what you heard was said, and it was good for then, but now Jesus is saying, I'm getting ready to add some more to it. I'm fixing to make it even more perfect. I'm fixing to bring a better way of living. Although you have heard it said in the past that you should not commit adultery. And that's one of the commandments as well when we talk about the Ten Commandments, isn't it?
Yep.
Thou shalt not kill. You shall not commit adultery. He said, you have heard that said in the past. But now, this is what I'm saying. You don't even have to go that far. Now I'm saying everyone who looks at a woman, and here it is talking about lusting after a person. I had made reference to lust can happen in different ways. You can be lusting over food. You can be lusting over material things. But the text here is talking about sexual lust because it's talking about lusting over a woman. Am I right?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So the teaching that Jesus is bringing, that's the new teaching, is that you don't even have to get in bed.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the act. You don't have to do the physical act. If you look with the intent, with lustful intent, you have already committed adultery in your heart.
Uh-huh.
That's the new teaching.
Well,
that's
I should get you in trouble. Look at David.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Exactly.
He was up on the rooftop looking down.
Looking and looking. Him in big
trouble. Had a good view. Good view watching that woman naked bathing.
Uh-huh.
And then he acts on it.
He was breaking his hand, was going and coming, wasn't he?
Yeah. And the law said you had to act on adultery. Jesus is saying, all you got to do is have lust in your heart, and you already committed.
That's right.
David did them both. He lusted first, then he acted on that lust.
Yes, he did.
Double sin. So back then, the act would get you in trouble. But today, our lustful intent is the same as adultery, as committing adultery. Where? You already committed it where?
In your heart.
Men, women, alike.
That's right.
Looking at folks.
Right.
He sure look good. She sure look good. We got to watch that because the word is saying if that thing moves to lust, we already committed adultery.
We already in trouble.
How can we get to that point?
How can we get to which point?
That point that we get to lust in such a way that it creeps into our mind. How do we get to that point? What do we see? Are we seeing the physical body? Are we seeing parts of the body? Are we seeing a physical act that needs to be done in our mind? So how do we get there?
What are we doing? What is going to cause us?
Bring your mind into subjection and make sure that you handle it carefully. But
well,
we have
okay.
to review our own minds, y'all.
So if I'm laying here asleep and I have a dream about something, is that lust?
When you woke up and you realized that you had that dream, better safe than sorry to go ahead on and ask for forgiveness.
Okay. Yeah, I believe
yeah.
it's better safe than be sorry, because that sure only gets you.
Yeah. And we can expand the text, but the text says if you look, it don't go into a dream. I mean, but we can expand it and talk about it and try to make that fit into the context of what it's saying. But the words on the page say if we look at a woman with lustful intent.
I think we'll be safe inferring, because if you infer that looking is that bad, then you can go ahead on and say other things could be worse. It might be people look at pornography. People look at movies and magazines. People look at all kinds of things.
Yeah.
That will lead you that way. But
yeah,
you know in your own mind's eye what's happening to lead you that way. So now you know how to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, but you still right where the text is at, and the text is saying if you look at a woman with lustful intent, if you look at pornography, if you look at sex magazines, if you look at whatever thing, that's right in line with what the text is saying. Where we were seeing if we could include that within a dream. Eric said, if I have a dream, and I think what he's saying, if I have a dream and I lust about a woman, have I still committed adultery in my heart? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Carolyn, your preferences were still at looking upon something. But Reverend Eric went to, if this happens in a dream, and we can explore that, because I don't know all about a dream, but I believe you might not all the time have control over your dreams, but you're going to have control over what you look at.
But again, we have already established the fact that we sin intentionally and unintentionally. So it's going to go
right
back to the world. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
I mean,
okay.
I believe that it
yes,
can.
Ma'am.
I believe that it can. I just want to keep the context in how it's looking with the words on the page, and it's referencing if you look at somebody with lust. I can expand it to a dream.
Pardon me.
Go ahead.
It's saying that, you know, he also says we have to pluck out our right eye so that it don't offend anybody. But he does not mean that we got to pull our eye out of the socket, but he is talking about our heart still. And if you have a dream that's a lustful dream, I think when you wake up and realize what has happened, you might just need to start praying and ask the Lord to help you to block that out, take it out of your mind, forgive you for all of that comes together. You got to ask for the forgiveness.
Right.
To take
Amen.
It away, because you don't want to sin.
Amen. I don't disagree. I don't disagree when it was said the first time. I don't disagree as it's being said the second time.
We don't have control, I don't think, over our dreams.
Right.
But we do have control over praying to the Lord. We can call on him anytime. All the time.
Yeah.
And we need to be quick in a situation like that to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, I don't quite understand this. Help me to not think on this no more. Just think it out of my mind. Take it away.
Right. Because, see, a person like me, I might dream, and I might dream and have a lustful dream. I'm at a disadvantage because I'm going to wake up, and I ain't even going to know what I dreamt. I ain't gonna even have anything because I don't remember my dreams.
Hey.
So when you wake up and you know what you dreamt, and you gotta ask for forgiveness.
You can't dwell on it for
that. I ain't gonna even know what it is. I don't remember what it is. I don't remember what I dreamt.
You need to be praying all the time, saying what?
A person
Lord,
like me.
Forgive me for my sins that were committed and omitted. Forgive me for the sins of commission and omission.
That's right.
I don't like the way that sounds, a person like me.
That's rough.
But I understand what you're saying
because she's saying that if you can't remember what happened in a dream, you make sure you cover yourself anyway.
Every morning wake up, Lord, forgive me.
There you go.
I got up in sin.
Didn't even know it. So go ahead and forgive me now, Lord. You know what my heart's desire is, and it's not to be dreaming things or thinking about things that I shouldn't be. So please forgive me.
We pray for forgiveness all the time because we do. We sin sometimes and know we sin, and we sin sometimes and not know. That's what that scripture we just quit reading was telling us to go back and tell the brother that he had offended because the brother didn't know. You know what I'm saying? He had to go back and let him know you done offended me. So, because the brother didn't know, it's the same thing. And so we do have to pray and ask God to forgive us when we know and when we don't know that we sin.
Yeah. Omission and commission. Omission and commission. Now, it does say, I'm going to read it again, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there, remember, so you putting your gift down, and as you are putting your gift down, you remember that your brother has something against you. So that sounds like a case where they know right there. Because you remember, the brother that has something against you knows he has something against you, but now you're remembering as you're putting your offer down, you know what? That brother is upset with me, and I need to go get it right. That's what it's saying.
So that's why to take it a step further, if you remember that a brother has offended you and you're there offering your gift, you need to get up and go. But what if you didn't know? Like I said, the burden of proof is on all of us. So we do not get away from it. So if I know that Lil hurt my feeling about something, and I don't take it to live, I'm in the wrong.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because Lil might not know she offended me.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. But it sounds like as we are offering, we are making our offering, if we don't remember, then we won't be held guilty for that. That's how I'm reading that. If we don't remember, if we ain't playing games, you know, the Lord knows you're playing games, but if you sincere, because it says, when you remember, go do it. So if we don't remember, we honestly, clearly, godly don't remember, I think we can go ahead and make our offering, and it'll be received and accepted.
It's very seldom that we when we are doing things, the Holy Spirit will remind us of what we did. Now, you know that was wrong. You know what I'm saying?
That's why.
We might not remember, but when the time comes, the Spirit of the Lord is going to remind us.
Yeah.
And
I
believe that's what that scripture is referencing to.
Yeah.
That we will be reminded when it comes to us, don't be derelict and not go and do what you need to do.
That's right.
Okay, I can just pass this up, or I can just go to God and say, Lord, please forgive me, and don't never go to Sister Leah.
Because
that's not what he's instructed us to do.
And there's two things working here. The brother has something against the one making the offering. Now, clearly, if we have something against somebody else, that should always be something that we remember. If I'm mad with Eric and then I go make an offering, on my way to make an offering, I should know at all times that I got something going on with Eric. That shouldn't be something I forgot. Now, I can see how I forget. I ain't got nothing against with Eric, Reverend Eric, but he got something against me. I can see how over time, you know, because I'm thinking everything all right, because I'm not upset with him, but he upset with me. So I can kind of understand how over time I can begin to think or forget about the fact that he has an issue with me. But if I got an issue with him, it seems like that's going to be something that I'm going to always know about. I can't go take no offering. Clearly, I'm going to know that I need to go get it right with him.
Right.
And you know, I'm thinking now, how often have we knelt down to pray and the Spirit of the Lord bring something to our remembrance, and we know, oh, I need to take care of that.
Yeah.
Probably quite often.
I
would venture to say quite often, because if you're praying to the Lord, seriously, you are probably in a place where you are trying to make sure that you are keeping things in order with the Lord.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right. Right.
So, okay, let's see. Sharon, do you have anything you want to add? Any comments you want to make? 6920, do you have any?
Are you sure you want me to comment?
Yeah.
Okay, because you guys know I look at things. Okay, I look at things a little bit differently than you do a lot of people. Now, when you're talking about lust in any type of form, if you were this is my opinion. Until you are entered into somebody and you think you want to go in that direction, you shouldn't be lusting over people. That's just part of it. You're not supposed to do that. Are you supposed to do that?
No, you're right. I think that's what we've been saying. And that's what the word says. So, not only what we've been saying, that's what the word says. We shouldn't.
So if you're not supposed to lust with people, it shouldn't be whether or not, okay, if you have a dream or not. I think you do have some control over your dreams because that's part of your mind, it's part of your thoughts. Okay, so I do feel like you have some control over what's going on. Even when you sleep, you can wake up. Okay? that's just my opinion.
All right.
I also think that you need to be careful. You know, we just had the perfect somebody molesting over people, Mr. R. Kelly. You know, you get to the point like that, you may not ever see the day of light again. So, if you didn't learn from that, there's something wrong. Shoot, I wouldn't be looking at nobody after he, what's just happened to him. I have my sunglasses on. I don't want nobody to think I'm looking at them,
Oh, praise the Lord.
But it was more than mere look with him. He was doing more than just looking.
He was looking, acting, dreaming, thinking.
All that.
He was doing it all.
All that.
So,
singing. Go ahead. I said, then he called himself singing spiritual songs.
He did for a minute. He made a few of those. Yeah.
In the process.
He made a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He didn't do enough of them, I guess.
Well, but here again, this is why we need to be teaching people the right way. And the people whom we tend to gravitate towards are people who may be less than in some kind of way. But when do we approach those who are, well, let me just use in terms of socioeconomic status. When do we approach rich people? When do we approach professional people? And how do we approach them? See, the Lord didn't tell us to go to a certain sect of people. He just told us to do what? Go.
Go.
We have decided who we can minister to and are not.
That's true.
And this is where we could very well be missing our listen. Because he may be trying to prepare me to minister to somebody who's a nice big athlete, who's a nice big, maybe a person who's big in ministry or a person who's big in business or whatever. It doesn't matter who they are. We just need to be prepared to go to everybody.
Right. Right. That's right. Right. So, Sharon, I appreciate you, your comments, and the one that you made about the dreams, and you believe that there are some, that we have some control over our dreams. And in a way, I would have to say that I don't know that much about dreams, but I do believe that we can influence our dreams. If we are flooding our minds with a certain kind of thought, or we are looking at some on TV, you know, all night long before we go to sleep, or we reading certain materials, I think we could flood our mind with stuff, and then that could lead our dreams in a certain direction. But
and
we're having
that's
control,
coming from the man who refused to turn the TV on at night.
What's that?
What'd you say, Sister Carolyn?
I said, is this coming from the man who refused to turn the TV off at night?
I can't remember my dream. I can't remember, so I don't know if the TV is slowing down or not. So that's
well,
why
I'm
I don't matter.
Well, I'm trying to tell you is I'm saying that it does for me.
It might be
a problem.
But subconsciously, you know that you fell asleep in a chair with TV on because you've been told that you have. So consciously, you know you're doing it, but you really don't care. You're going to keep doing it because you don't see that you should get up and turn the TV off and go to bed like a normal person.
Mm.
You know, falling asleep in a chair with a TV on, you're running electricity. You may be disturbing other people who don't want to. Like, I can't sleep with a TV on. That bugs me for somebody to be talking in my mind when I'm trying to sleep. So
okay,
you know, you do
there
have
you go.
Control.
Don't say anything
you
in your
control.
Mind.
I can't sleep with it all.
Well, I'm trying to tell you that
I know
for
that.
Us, that is a problem that has been a problem. And although I have expressed it, it remains a problem. And the only way that it's going to change is for me to go to another room.
No.
That's right. But listen.
Well, see, wait, that's why back in the day you didn't have TVs in the bedroom.
That's right.
<See?
laughs> Pastor Curl.
I'm just going to put it in
rest.
Let me really say this before you do, because we're looking at it one sided, because I think most of the people can't sleep, most of the people would rather sleep with the TV off. I think it's fair to say most of the people would rather sleep with the TV off, but not all of the people. There are some people who sleep and rest just fine with the TV on. I happen to be one of those people who rest fine with the TV on. So does that make Let me finish. So does that make something wrong with me, wherein that if that's what makes me comfortable sleeping, now I got to do something different.
Answer this question. Did you sleep with the TV on when you was in your mother and father's house?
As long as I could. I fell asleep with it on. I think they may have came. They came. I used to slip and keep it on, and they would come when I had one in my room. They would come and turn it off after I went to sleep. But I went to sleep with it on when I had a TV in my room. It's just something
I
always.
That's a magic question. When you had a TV in your room, so why did your parents remove the TV from your room?
No, they didn't remove it. It just at some point I didn't have one. I didn't get one until I got to a certain age, but they never removed it. I just didn't have it when I was younger than when I got, you know, a teenager or whatever. I had a TV in the room. But they never was removed, and I just fell in love.
How did they get you to stop sleeping with the TV on, since they paying the electricity bill? What did they do to get you to stop doing it?
They never got me to stop doing it. When I went to sleep, it was off the next morning, so they must came in and turned it off. But they never got me to stop doing it.
Okay.
I never stopped doing it. And then when I got to college, I just kept on doing it. When I got mad, I just kept on doing it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Not
a problem for Rodney. That's what he's saying. People are different.
Yeah.
You're comfortable when there's no noise nowhere and you can go and you can go to sleep, whereas he's uncomfortable when there's no noise somewhere. He needs the noise to put him on to sleep. So it shows that we are alike, but we are not. We are different.
I go to sleep with the light on and the TV on,
and I sleep that way all night long. It don't bother me at all.
Oh, Lord Jesus. But see, for Carolyn.
But the next person might not, they might have to have all the lights out and no noise.
Right. Reverend, you made a play. So that don't make me wrong.
Ain't
nothing wrong with it.
That means we just have to find a compromise. In the compromise,
see the same before we had TV. Yeah, I remember when I used to go to sleep with the radio on.
Yeah, I've done that.
There you go.
I am saying the older I get, I'm no longer doing that because it's disturbing to me the older I get.
The older I get, the more I want to do it.
Well, I think the best thing is earplugs, you can hook up to the TV Wi-Fi, and you can put them on your head, and you can go to sleep,
Bluetooth,
or you can put
TV.
Them in your ears. What?
Rev. Rodney, Bluetooth the TV.
That's right.
What?
Do whatever. Do something.
Do Bluetooth the TV.
Okay.
You get some earbuds and Bluetooth the TV, go right on to sleep. She never knows it's on.
That's part of the compromise. We have to come up with a compromise. So that's a compromise.
There we go.
Okay,
Carolyn, that's his Christmas present. You get him whatever he needs, because I don't know nothing about the TV. He does. But have him hook it up. See, there you go. See how we got your compromise. Because I'd be with Carolyn. I'd be like, we're going to another room.
Oh, boy, no.
He's getting ready to start praying fasting. I already told him that I'm going to have to go in a different room.
She has to do what she feels is best for her.
You gotta figure it out. No, see, that's wrong. That's the wrong attitude. You gotta make it work.
No,
to please her, please your wife. We gave you all the instructions. You get to get headphones, earplugs.
He's saying you will do whatever you need to do for the wife.
Come
when
on.
You love her like
that's right.
She like you
that's
love
right.
the church.
Well,
mm-hmm.
said,
that's right. That's right. See, y'all wrong. Y'all gonna have to go pray tonight. No. When somebody needs they rest, they tired, and you don't hear them, see, you better pray
mm-hmm.
right now. When somebody tell you that there's something that they don't like, then we just get done preaching about that?
Reverend Lil made it clear. Reverend Lil made it clear because I'm having something that happened to me that I don't like. So if I don't, you know what I'm saying? So it works both ways.
And
it's
I
not
tell
that something...
you, I know how to fix it. I just move out the room.
And when I said you have to do what you got to do, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I really didn't. I mean, that's part of the compromise. Maybe a couple of nights I'll leave and leave your TV on. We just have to compromise, not in a negative way. But
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's fair just because one person wanted one way, it got to always be that way. Either way, I shouldn't always have it on. And you shouldn't always
well,
have
you know
it on.
What?
It has
see,
to be some kind of compromise.
Well, see, that's why, you know, can you cook, Rodney?
Very good.
Okay. All right, well,
there
you that one, honey. Because I can go in the other room.
I can clean.
I can stop doing laundry. I can stop doing everything. Like you said, I can do what I want to do until you compromise and go get some earplugs or some headphones. That's the only way I'll come
you
back.
You're going to make him compromise, bud.
He'll cut it off.
That's right.
Okay.
That sounds like flesh working there. That don't sound like the spirit of the Lord.
I can do all that by myself.
Ain't it good to be independent?
Yes, it is.
I didn't get married to be a housewife. I didn't get married to clean houses and cook meals and all this, that, and the other. So.
All right, now.
Well, the only other thing that I can say is do what Lucy Ball or whatever that man name was, Desi, where they had them two twin beds and they pushed them apart and they put the wall up between them. And then when they was okay and they put the beds back together. You remember
oh,
the old bed?
Yeah,
it's an old bed. You y'all just back me up tonight. I am serious. I just sat there and laughed and laughed. I'm like, Lord, no, I seriously believe that we have control over what we think and what we sleep, and we know when to wake up. And if you have a nightmare and you see, like, just,
now you're doing good because I don't know when to wake up. The Lord has to wake me up. I think I'd sleep forever.
Oh, no, honey.
How do you know when to wake up?
If you hear a thump and your brother used to tell you that bad man was going to come get you, you know how kids do. Oh, no,
I don't know. I didn't have siblings, so no, you got one on me.
No, when they say you, they go flush you down the toilet, when they can, when they tell you the boogeyman go come get you when your big brother's
oh,
there.
No,
I listen out at night when I sleep. I tell you, I hear when I hear the.
So you operating in fear then?
No, it's just how I hear it.
You to death. That's how you wake up, huh? It's how you know to wake. How you wake yourself up?
I sure do. I wake up. No, I wake up. I wake up. Don't you at least go get up one time of the night?
No. When I lay down, I don't get up till morning.
That's it,
man. Yeah, I train myself.
My
most people got to
put
up, get up and down, go into the bathroom. I'm not going to do that.
I do
that. When I lay down, I'm going to stay down until it's time to get up.
My sisters used to tell me that the devil rolled me up and I bit me up. They used to say the devil rolled you, and they would put stuff on my face like lotion or toothpaste or something. And when I
wake
up, see,
the devil rolled
me last night.
No, honey, no. If they come close to me, I know they doing something wrong. What I open? What? Okay. You don't know what them big with your brothers and sisters stuff that y'all don't know what they did to us. Just do their errand.
No.
Well, I'm telling you.
They just thought we was calling them when we was, Mama, just leave me alone. Y'all take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't
see
us scared.
We got two more verses. If we finish these two verses, we will be done this section. Verse 29 and 30 in chapter 5. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of the members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Mark chapter 9, verse 43 says, and if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell. And so what I wrote for this is we have to find the source, the sin source. We have to find the sin source. If your eye is the source of sin, something has to be done. And Reverend Lil already said could be figuratively, not literally. But if your hand causes you to sin, if your feet is causing you to sin, is taking you to places that's causing you to sin, if your hand is touching things that cause you to sin, if your eyes are looking upon things that's causing us to sin, we have to identify the sin source. We have to identify that thing which is causing us to sin, and then deal with that thing which is causing us to sin. And the Bible is saying it's better to walk around with one eye, it's better to enter the kingdom of God, it's better to enter heaven with one eye because you've done what needed to be done to get rid of the other one, because the other one is the thing that was going to keep you out of heaven. So you did what you needed to do to get rid of that eye so that you could at least go to heaven with one good eye. So the point that I'm trying to make is we have to identify the sin source. We have to identify what's causing us to sin and then deal with that, whatever it is.
Amen.
Right.
If it's your eye, deal with it. If it's your hand, deal with it. There are countries, not the country we live in, but there are countries. If you caught stealing,
it went off.
You know?
Yeah.
Back to the discussion we were just having. It's the eyes and the ears.
Yeah, that's what They do it. Well, it's the, I think they're talking in Afghanistan now about them amputating their hand and their ear. I think I heard that the other day. They're going back into their amputations of people. And I know I worked with a young man from India many years ago, and we was talking one day, and he said, oh, we don't have a lot of crime in India. And he told us that when somebody steals something, they cut off a finger, and they'll keep cutting off fingers until you don't have a hand. You don't have a hand, you can't steal.
I think that'll decrease it.
The way they look at it. And so they believe in amputations in a lot of different countries.
Yeah, and the crime is lower. I bet the crime is lower.
The punishment is rough. If they're cutting off fingers and hands, and
hey, you can't do
can
that.
Can you imagine? You know, if they made a mistake and got the wrong guy and just whacked off his hand, he'd just be out of luck. Ain't no putting it back.
Reverend Eric, what about this one? If you live in a place where you rape somebody, and then they cut off your genitals, you turn out to be the one who didn't rape the person. Now that's what would be bad.
That'd be real bad.
Yeah, but I do believe there are places like that as well. There are places like that as well, and probably the crime of rape is probably almost none to zero.
That's right. That's exactly right. They don't have that.
So whatever causes us to sin, we need to figure
really
out a way with the help of the Holy Spirit to deal with.
That's a psychological deterrent.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
It is. Who wants any part of their body cut off? Nobody.
You're going to think twice. You're going to think twice. Uh-oh. And so I think that's a good way of scripture. I think that's a good way for scripture to put it. If your eyes causes you to sin, cash it out.
Yes.
It's better to enter into heaven. It's better to be walking around lame than to not enter into heaven. It's better to be walking around lame or crippled to not get into heaven at all. Because sin has caused us to sin, we haven't dealt with it. And so whatever that sin source is, it needs to be dealt with. Now, this has been a festive lesson tonight. We done learned about dreams.
Yeah.
We done did some. Y'all helped me, Reverend Carol, with some marital counseling. This is easy. Don't leave. Sheriff, don't leave the room. Don't leave the room. She done remind me of what I say. I done been reminded of what I talk, what you say, what they supposed to do, whatever to please. Hey, boy, y'all done got real deep.
Because I'm serious that we should be practicing what we're preaching.
All right.
That's serious. No, you know, you got to make it work. Whatever it takes, you got to make it work. When both people are happy.
And we should be practicing
that may not be a bad idea where, you know, a lot of people... I would love to have my own bedroom and have your bedroom, and then when we decide we want to be like a date, you can have all the TV you want. You can have the TV 24/7.
Look out.
Leave it to the toolbox,
Reverend Robin.
We
got to get into the toolbox.
Got
to get into the toolbox.
Get into the toolbox.
Because we have weapons that we use every day, that we should all be using every day. And that's the word. Mm-hmm. And the word should be effective enough to wherever is going on in the relationship or whatever is going on in our lives, it should be able to correct it.
All right.
And we should be willing to
search that toolbox out and find what's going to correct whatever is going on. And
that's
that was brought to my attention the other night. Wanda had that attack. And
that's right.
I had to search my toolbox right quick and put things into order. Otherwise, I might have lost it.
All right.
Okay.
So we have to be willing to jump in there, grab what we need, and allow God to lead us in everything. If it's the TV need to be on, it's a reason why your mind say you want the TV on. And that's also working through the your body, which leads back to your spirit. So there's something in that word that will counteract that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's something in the word that will take precedence over that situation.
It's just like, just like if somebody, and when somebody sucks their thumb, and you got to figure out a way how to stop them from sucking their thumb, it's just like if you turn the TV off, you may not go to sleep for like 3 days. You may be so tired finally when you do go to sleep, you'll just go to sleep. And then you'll realize, okay, I can do it. You know, I'm so exhausted, you know, I just go to sleep. The TV isn't on. I mean, it's just like thinking about people, you know, suck their thumb, how difficult that is for that child to not put that thumb in their mouth. I mean, that's just really, really like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a habit.
It is. It's a habit.
It's a habit. And watching the television or wanting the television on could be a habit as well. And Reverend Lil helped me make it. She helped me make it clear, Reverend Eric. Because see, what people do is they make it seem like something wrong with me or something wrong with the person who likes to have the TV on. There's nothing has to be wrong in that person's spirit, or don't have to be something wrong. It's made to seem like something wrong with that person, but it doesn't have to be anything wrong with that person. That's just how the person is wired and how they are built and what makes them sleep better. Noise makes them sleep better. Ain't nothing wrong with them. They don't have to pray and ask God to fix whatever's going on with them. There may not be nothing going on with them. That's just what makes that person sleep better. So the person who likes the TV off has to be sympathetic to that too. If the situation was reversed and Carolyn liked it on, I couldn't just look at it like something wrong with her. I would have to try to figure out and work with how she's seeing it as well.
You're missing the point. The biggest point is when people are cannot be deprived of sleep, you know how irritating you will become. You know how mean you become. You know how unfocused you become. When you don't get really good sleep, and you're putting up with it because you love this person, but you really gotta try to say, we gotta find something to do.
You might be thinking I'm making a joke of it, but I'm serious. So what if I ain't getting to sleep? So I mean, it would be the same situation, right? If the person who is wanting and can't go to sleep without the TV, now they don't get that, now they're irritable. Because they ain't getting to sleep.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, but you got to make, you know, maybe you both got to get earplugs. Maybe she's got to get earplugs and not hear the TV, and then you got
to
get
I just wanted to make sure. I want to make sure you understood that point, because you said that if a person can't get good sleep because this or that, well, if the person that needs that to go to sleep, then they're going to not be getting good sleep, and then they're going to be irritable too.
You're going to be so tired that you're going to go to sleep.
Reverend Rodney just demonstrated. Y'all, please let me make this point. Reverend Rodney just demonstrated what people with itching ears will do when he said, Reverend Lil brought a different point to it. Yes, but that brought him comfort and peace in hearing what he heard. So what it did was it placed you in a place of justifying what it that you want.
Totally wrong. Totally wrong.
Well, maybe I'm totally wrong, but I'm saying you got to look at all.
Totally wrong. Yeah, so I can't let you project that on me because her saying that didn't make me feel like, okay, now I have a way out or whatever. Her saying that did because I think I have a valid point, and it had nothing to do with I referenced that because she did mention the fact, which solidified what I was thinking, but that didn't make me feel like, okay, now my ears are itchy and I heard what I needed to hear, and no. If y'all were listening to me the whole time, y'all would see that I have a valid point. It would be clear that I have a valid point if y'all were listening.
Right, and that's how you portrayed it. I have a valid point. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you, except for, yes, you're wasting energy, okay?
She worried about that energy.
I ain't wasting no energy.
Well, you live in Texas with that freeze. You need to be learning about it.
I keep just trying to, but here's what I need to do. I need to work on turning the TV off, because that's what's going to make my spouse sleep better. So I need to work on sleeping with the TV on.
Okay.
I need
next
to work
question.
On.
If you can't, that's the A plan. What's the B plan? If you can't turn the TV off, what is your B plan?
The B plan is then the compromise. What the B plan is now, she just kind of compromised and she goes to sleep with it on until I can.
So there's no plan. If you have an A plan, if you're going to try to turn the TV off. You can't use a B plan for what you're already doing. So what's
the B plan?
That's not good. A B plan.
I ain't got no B. The only B plan I can have is to go in another room. That's the only B plan I would have. Just go sit in the bus seat or whatever.
Why can't you put something in? Does it bother you to have earplugs?
Oh, I ain't never tried that. I just heard that tonight since y'all said it. So that could be okay. Okay, that's the B plan.
Okay. Yeah, try that.
If they got the light on, that's not a problem. I can sleep with the light on. I can sleep with the TV light.
I don't like to sleep. I can't sleep with the light on. I don't like the light on.
Okay, we got somebody.
She can.
We got somebody.
I can't.
Carolyn, we have seven.
Reverend Rodney.
I'm doing
it. Yes,
Reverend Rodney.
Yes, sir.
Do you have to hear the TV, or can you just look at the TV?
You're talking to me that I called in?
I can get to where I don't even have to hear it.
Hello?
Hold on.
Okay, Carolyn, go ahead and take your caller.
Right. Okay. So any one of our callers who want to speak, let me see. What is the last four of the person who's ready to speak?
7126.
Very good.
And that's Leo. Somebody else is on the line.
Excuse me.
7714
is on the line also.
Did y'all hear 7714 on the line? Let her speak.
Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Rodney, this is Sheila.
Hey, dear. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
And I'd like to make a suggestion as far as the sleeping situation, if I may.
Okay. Please.
Well, I am one that I cannot sleep with the TV on or the light. I have to be really, really tired in order for me to do that.
Yeah.
I would make a suggestion as to, you know, maybe every other day have it on and then the other have it off. So you could kind of, you know, compromise with one another.
Okay.
Instead of just saying, okay, this is how it's going to go, and that's it. Well, you're not compromising.
That's right.
Good point.
That's right.
Good point.
You're not giving the other person a chance.
That's a thought.
So, I mean, it
that's
may be, you know, because sometimes it could be, too, because sometimes, because my parents can sleep with the TV on, and it could be that your spirit is so, running to where you're not giving yourself really time to sleep. You're not really sleeping. You're resting, but your body's still really not sleeping.
You're
not getting
that.
The proper rest as you need to be. You should be getting at least seven hours of sleep is the proper time for people to be getting the sleep that they need. And the majority of us don't. And the reason being is because you have your mind is running. And you're not getting the sleep that you need.
I receive that. That makes sense.
So maybe switch up sometime. You know, turn off the TV at times so you can get your proper amount of sleep.
Yeah.
You're not getting the sleep that you need.
Okay.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I'm willing to try.
Get your proper amount of sleep.
But that's all. That's all I have to say. I heard. I kind of came in the middle of it.
I didn't even know you were on the line. That's good.
I know. I came in the middle of the conversation. I said, "Oh, they're talking about sleep. That's right up my alley."
So let me ask you this, because Sharon brought this up. Do you believe we have a degree of control over what we dream? Can we, and Sharon, if I'm asking it wrong, you can correct me. Do you think we can kind of control what we are dreaming, or is that something we don't have no control over? What do you think about that?
Can she move away from the background noise so we can hear her clearly, please?
I personally don't think that we have a control over what we dream, because if you're sleeping, God is going to give you the dreams that you're needing anyway. If you're getting your proper sleep, you can't control God. You can't control the Lord.
Okay, so what we're talking about, wait, what we're talking about is controlling when you're having, like, lustful dreams. And I felt that if you're having a lustful dream, something should wake you up. You know what I mean, you know what I'm saying? Something should wake you up doing this lustful dream, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't know, okay?
Personally.
I have to think about things like that when I go to sleep.
Well, yeah, that's your mind should not be on that, though. But if you get your sleep and you pray before you sleep, God's going to be controlling those dreams in the first place.
And that's true, too, because maybe people are not getting on their knees and praying before they go to bed like we're supposed to, so maybe they don't go to bed with that clear mind. I don't know. I just feel like if you were having a sexual dream or you're having, then you're going to wake up sooner or later, I would think.
Mm-hmm. I hate to say this, but it sounds bad, but especially men. But that's just, you know, because men, they think differently than women do.
Yeah.
We think differently as far as that's concerned.
So y'all better get on y'all knees before y'all lay down.
All right. Watch it now.
Look, I love everybody.
Okay, y'all, my stomach hurts now. All right.
Well, this has been good.
We sure won't forget this Bible study.
Amen, all the way around.
Amen.
So we can close. Let me say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this study. Thank you, oh God, for all the interactions that you have allowed, and we are praying that we instill in the center of your will, oh God. And so we know that a lot has been said, but we certainly have studied your word tonight. And we pray, oh God, that the areas that we need help in, that you will help us, that we will allow you to help us, oh God, in whatever areas we need help in. So we thank you for this study. We thank you, oh God, for all of the people who are involved. We thank you for this broadcast, this internet video, oh God, and we continue to pray that you would grow it and send individuals to be a part of it, oh God. We lift up Sharon and all who continue to operate in the background, and we ask that you continue to bless them mightily, oh God. Again, we thank you for all that our ears have heard, all that our hearts have felt. We thank you, oh God, because we believe by faith that we are better and that we are receiving what you want us to receive tonight, oh God. I even thank you for Sheila coming on and offering, oh God, offering her things that has helped us tonight. So I pray that you continue to bless Sister Martha and Anderson and her entire family, oh God, and all of the listeners and callers that we have tonight. We thank you again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. So we thank all of you for being in on the study tonight. And I am wonderfully blessed. I just got a text from my good friend Ashley, and she's saying that she's listening to the Bible study. She said, I bless y'all. Oh, praise God. So that is so good. I don't know what city Ashley is in now. I'm not sure. I'll have to find that out. But anyhow, you have been listening to Let's Do It Radio, and I have been your host, Reverend Carolyn McCullough from Arlington, Texas, and you can find Let's Do It Radio at doitallinthemall.com, the only place where you can shop for anything you need securely online 24/7 and find great listening entertainment all in the comfort of your home. So shop through doitallinthemall.com, where you can find all your religious items, Bibles in all languages, religious charms, religious T-shirts, and religious gifts, shops with anointing oils, and memorial shops with more shops to come in the religious section. And if you have a religious product that you would like for us to promote, fill out a contact form on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. And we want you to know that none of what you have heard music-wise is owned by doitallinthemall.com. And so we're ready to end. Reverend Rodney has already given us the closing prayer, and we're inviting you to don't be sidetracked by us having fun, because we do what my grandmother taught us all of the time. And she always says, where there's no fun, there is no getting along. And so we like to have fun studying the word. Jesus brings joy to our lives because he has liberated us. And we thank God for the blood of Jesus for the liberation process that has taken place. And so as we end tonight, we love you all and we praise God for you. And we ask God to bless you in all of your endeavors, and that you will continue listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks, on Wednesday in 2 weeks. So join in at 5 Central Standard Time, and you also have other opportunities to listen in with other programs sponsored by doitallinthemall.com. So thank you all for being here. We love you, and have a great night's rest. And we'll start practicing, Sister Sheila, turning the TV off every other night.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And when we meet again, we're going to look at divorce. We're going to look at what the scripture says about divorce, oath, and retaliation. All those are still in chapter 5 of Matthew. So you can read ahead and be even better prepared. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Because he lives, either. You came to love, heal, and forgive. By my portal, an empty grave is that to prove he lived.
Because he lived,
I can face tomorrow.
Oh, I can face tomorrow. Final war with pain, and then at death, gives way to victory. I'll see the light of glory. So glad. Oh yeah, I'm so glad that the grave is not our final destiny. I heard it when Lazarus died. Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus said, you shall see your brother again. She says, I know I'll see him again in the resurrection. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Cause he lives. All fear is gone.
Welcome to the family of God. I ask that you go to the homepage of doitallinthemall.com and complete a contact form and place your information there, and we'll send some information to you by mail to help you better understand what's happened to you when you gave your life to Christ. We also invite you to attend Bible study with us by calling in at 845-241-9985. The religious section has all your religious items, such as Bibles in all languages, religious charms, t-shirts, and gift shops with anointing oils, and memorial shops with more shops coming. We'd love to put your religious products in the mall. From the homepage of doitallinthemall.com, please complete the Contact Us information and send it. As you shop through the mall, the more funds we build up and a commission is earned on qualified purchases going back into your communities where your money matters. You can change lives and make lives matter while making a difference nationwide and even worldwide. Make Do It All in the Mall your shopping headquarters. Tour the website while listening to the service. Donations are welcome by clicking the donation button on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. Doitallinthemall.com.
Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.
please leave comments on these shows. As you shop through the mall, the more funds we build up and a commission is earned on qualified purchases go back into your communities where your money matters. You can change lives and make lives matter while making a difference. Nationwide or worldwide, make Do It All in the Mall your shopping headquarters. Donations are welcome as well. Click on the donate button on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. Contact us if you'd like to be on Let's Do It Radio, have a topic for discussion, or to advertise your business by sending an email to doitallinthemall@yahoo.com or by completing the contact us information on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. The old-fashioned way works by calling 509-406-6920. You can Skype and tune in, listen or talk with us at 845-241-9985. Tuesdays through Fridays during the following times, 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Tuesdays, retired teacher Janet Schwartz, Keeping History Alive, alternating with Ralph Steele, Investment Specialist. Wednesdays, Reverend Carolyn McCullough, Teaching from the Bible. Wednesday evenings, alternating with Stephanie Lott Whitfield, Why Does Love Hurt? 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursdays, hanging out with Sergeant Parks and keeping it real. Fridays, Perry Whaley, Vitiligo Man of Action, vibing with Vitiligo. Fridays, alternating poetry read by Roshamba Adwoa. Saturday, kids movies, listen with your ears day. 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday service, listen only to guest speakers. 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern Time. First Sundays, Reverend Carolyn McCullough. Second Sundays, Dr. Ralph Steele. Third Sundays, Reverend Carolyn Williamson. Fourth Sundays, Reverend Ronnie Marshall. Fifth Sundays, Pastor Beatrice Jenkins. We'll close out today's with song.